So we're going to get this next session started. I'm trying to be loud enough to draw the people in from the sandwiches or the risotto mushroom balls. That's a tough act to follow, risotto mushroom balls. It doesn't matter where you sit, because you won't be there for long. Anywhere you like. So we're going to get started. If folks can have a seat, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. George Watson from the Incentive Working Group. And
good, you're good. Thanks. Hi, welcome. I'm George Watson. For many of you, I think you probably know me. I've been around for a while. Those of you that don't know me, I'm a family doctor up on the North Coast based out of Prince Rupert. And I do largely outreach to First Nations communities at the moment. I'm here on the basis of the fact that I'm the Doctors of BC member that's co-chair of the Incentive Working Group for GPSC. And so what we want to sort of look to is a little bit more of the future. Dr. Ross mentioned that we're sort of looking at things in phases. There's the short term, the immediate, basically. There's the medium term, and then the longer term, looking towards the remainder of this PMA and on into future PMAs. And so what we're doing is looking forward, and the big thing that we want to do this afternoon is we really want to tap your brains. The Incentive Working Group doesn't make decisions. We discuss things and we come up with recommendations to the GPSC, and the GPSC makes decisions. So, you know, contrary to popular belief, I do not have $100 million sitting in my pocket to hand out. Most of it's budgeted. In fact, all of it's budgeted. How we budget that and how we change the budgeting of that is something that our group can actually make some recommendations to the GPSC about, and the GPSC can make decisions. So, I get a disclosure side. I have nothing to disclose. I'm a really boring person. I was informed by a medical consultant that came up from the Ministry of Health about 25 years ago when there was a bit of a fuss between some of the specialists in Prince Rupert and the hospital board, as it was in those days. And they came around and interviewed all of us, and they informed me that I was a hobby doctor, and that I think it was intended, sir, to be a bit dismissive, but I kind of always took it as a compliment, because hobbies are things you do because you like doing them. And so I'm still a hobby doctor. I like doing what I do. So nothing exciting at all. So I don't have to manage it. Okay, so the big thing that we're trying to do this afternoon is give you a bit of an idea about some of the thoughts that the Incentive Working Group has been sort of processing and turning over, and also seeing if you guys have other ideas that you think would be appropriate to support what the overall work of the GPSC is. And so, what we're going to do is we're going to ask you what you think about our specific thoughts that we've been discussing. Have you look at which of them interest you, which of them you would put a priority on, which of them you're not interested in and pointedly not interested in. And do you have any particular new ideas? Okay. So when we're doing that, we have some basics or principles we need to stick to. And we have to sort of support the basic direction that GPSC has set between the ministry and the doctors of BC in terms of supporting the patient medical home and primary care networks. We want to, in doing that, support team-based care as much as we can through the incentive programs. We want to try and make things a little more straightforward. We heard you when you were replying to us during the visioning process that you pretty much uniformly loved incentives, who wouldn't, but that the administrative burden of them was really frustrating. And so we've been trying, and the things that Dr. Ross mentioned to you just before the break, to sort of simplify and align some of our incentives to try and minimize or diminish at least the sort of administrative burden that's taking place. And the other thing that is always sort of important is that we want to have the incentives be reasonably reflective of the burden of care, that, you know, you should get a significant incentive for something that requires incentive work or significant work, whereas something that is relatively straightforward, perhaps a somewhat smaller incentive might be appropriate. So, what we're looking at today, we're going to divvy people up into individual groups, but what we want to do is we want to have you sort of answer these kinds of questions. Okay? So for each of the ideas that we put forward, you know, we want to know what you think the strengths of those ideas are. You know, do you have specific concerns about them? Are there, you know, potential problems looming? You know, how would it fit into your practice? Are there particular implications as to how it would work? And what more do you need to know about them? What would we have to do to flesh that out? Or should we throw them away? Okay? So it's something that we want that kind of input from the four ideas that we're going to put forward. But even more so, we want to know, do you have any fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth ideas? And, you know, give us enough of a sort of skeleton view of them so that we can investigate them further and bring them forward. Okay? So the ideas that we specifically have been kind of turning over and that we'd like you to have the thought about is we'd like to think about the possibility of expanding access to the complex care fees. One of the problems we've always had with the complex care fees, which I mean are really quite well remunerated, is that they've been very limited by the sort of diagnostic dyads, and it's been referred to in the past as being a little bit of a diagnosis lottery. If you happen to have a patient that has the magic two diagnoses, you get the incentive. You could have somebody else that's very complex in your practice that they don't have the magic diagnoses dyads, and so you get nothing for the complexity. And, you know, what about the possibility of expanding that somewhat? Would it be possible to open it up to a broader range of diagnoses? And more to the point, should we abandon diagnoses entirely? Maybe we should go at it more like the 14075, which is functionally based. And so if we look at functional complexity, that might be something that we'd be more interested in. And then how we'd go about that, would we pay it on the basis of sort of a quarterly payment? Or would we have specific fees, much the same as we have at the present time? So that's one of the ones, and there will be a group that can be discussing that, and Jeff is going to tell you about that in a few minutes. The next one that we wanted to sort of talk about is a tiered approach to attachment. Now, there's been concern expressed with the termination of the 14074 that perhaps GPSC no longer cares about attachment, and nothing could be further from the truth. We still very much want to support that. It's still one of the very central principles of the patient medical home and of the GPSC. We want to encourage the attachment of patients. And certainly when we were initially developing, you know, the attachment initiative, which turned into the GP for Me initiative, we rolled around the idea of having just a flat fee for attaching any patient. And it was discussed a lot, but we sort of decided that no, perhaps we would pick something where we would give a somewhat larger incentive to the attachment of complex patients. Well, perhaps we should go back towards the idea of incenting attachment, but have it in a tiered approach so that every patient that you attach newly to your practice is in fact worth something, but the more complex ones would be worth a higher amount. And so that your basic, happy, healthy young person would be worth a very lowly amount, and the very, you know, sickly, complex, difficult to manage patient would be worth a much higher incentive. So that's another one that we can have a specific group to discuss. And are you interested in that? Do you like it? What do you think the pros and cons of it are? We'll go from there. Okay. Our third one is with the patient medical home, one of the very first sort of activities that we find is really important is finding out about your panel. We really need to understand about what's going on. And one of the concerns we have is that those of you that remember PITO, and it's not that long ago, there was payments for moving up to meaningful use number 3, or level 3. And that was great, and a whole bunch of people rummaged around and they worked very hard and diligently and they got up to meaningful use 3, and they got their incentive payment for it, and that was wonderful. But we found that there's been a lot of backsliding and that a lot of people are no longer doing things at meaningful use 3 because, well, hey, you know, they got the money and they're busy and they're doing other stuff. And so should we in fact have some sort of an incentive for ongoing management of panels and keeping them up to date and seeing if in fact that could help us out with the overall goal of supporting the patient medical home? There's going to be another group to discuss that. Jeff's going to tell you where it's going to be. And then the next one that the incentive working group has been talking about is the possibility of a block payment. And this was something we started talking about quite some time ago when we were talking about the whole idea of simplifying the administrative burden. And the suggestion was made that we could kind of retrospectively look at the nature of an individual practitioner's practice and assess what level of complexity and CDM and all the basic GPSC incentives would sort of fit into that, add it all up, divide it by 4, and pay it out to you quarterly. Now, obviously, yes, there would still be the same audit requirements so that, you know, if the audit police come around, you would have to have things, you know, written down in the chart so that it was in fact auditable, that you had in fact done the work, but you wouldn't have to put in a specific fee code for each individual interaction with each individual patient. And you know, there was discussion as to, well, how would we go about that? And you know, the quick and dirty, which would be okay maybe for the first time out, would be just to take what you got paid last year, divide it by 4, and hand it out, okay? Well, that's inherently going to be unfair to anybody that's new and starting out a practice. It's also unfair, but kind of nice, for anybody that is sort of winding down their practice and they kind of get the golden handshake because they're working much less than they did last year, but they would still get what they got paid last year. So it has problems associated with it. As I say, it might be something viable for a brief interim thing for maybe 1 year, but that would be it. More importantly, we'd want to have a process for sort of assessing the overall complexity of individual practices. And, you know, we have things like the Johns Hopkins ACGs, we have the Fort St. John model where they've assessed sort of the complexity of individual patients. CIHI is just in the process of coming out with a sort of an assessment of complexity in patients. So there's a number of different ways we could go about it. If that's something that interests you, then we have yet another group to talk about that. Okay. And then the final one, which if anything, I think is the most important and interesting, certainly to those of us in the incentive working group is, so what do you guys think? You know, do you have other ideas? What would they be? Give it to us in, you know, sort of a thumbnail sketch, or you can give it to us in a long detailed description. But anything at all that sort of seems kind of interest to you that you would think might be a valuable thing that fits in with the overall principles we're talking about, we're interested in hearing about it. And so we're using you kind of as a focus group. There's going to be a table about that. Okay? So anyway, where we go from here is the incentive working group is going to really look at all of your feedback. We're going to find out what's your sort of impressions are of the ones that we came up with. We're going to hopefully hear wonderful new ideas from you. We're going to look at the stickies that you made in the preceding part of the afternoon. And we're going to use all of that to go towards developing the sort of informational webinars that are going to tell you about things like the changes that we've made in the fees at this point. And it's going to go into an overall summary of the summit here, okay? So that we're interested in hearing what your thoughts are. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to ask Jeff to sort of direct us where he wants us to be, and we'll have some discussion groups. And I think that I'm sort of trading on Jeff's territory, but if you go to one incentive or one of the discussion groups and you feel you've made your contribution, feel free to come to another one. And, you know, mix and match, it works. So, Jeff.
Thanks, George. So exactly that. We have five concurrent sessions that will run for 45 minutes. You can go to as many or as few as you'd like. So if you'd like to spend time in all of your time in one area because you think that's the most important and you want to hear and you want to provide input to that, then you can do that. If you want to go to all five, you're welcome to do that. First of all, I'd like to make sure that the working group representatives, the facilitators, and the note takers are in their designated areas. Yes? No? Okay. And I need to, these panels need to come out. Actually, Tomas, those panels are coming out into the middle. Okay? So, as I say, feel free to move. Over here, number one, this is expanding access to complex care and planning. That's Kathy waving there. So she's advertising. This is a great place. This is a great place. New ideas. Number two, new ideas. It's Joanne and Michelle. There's Joanne. And they're waving not quite as loudly as Kathy was. Number three is over here. I don't know why. It's block funding. And who's in block funding? And George is in block funding. There we go. And then number four is going to be in the middle. And that's Mark. Mark, you'll be in this one. Yep. This now. And number five, the final one, is it's a tiered approach to attachment, and that is Gene Clark. Now, what I'd like you to do is, when you go to the group in the first place, get out of the tables and point your chairs around to one another. This is big group, not small tables. Okay. So you've got about 45 minutes, and then after the 45 minutes, we'll come back for just a sec. We'll ask you to do some prioritization. Okay. The only thing that doesn't work is sitting where you are. I will put the questions back up. The questions will go back up. Just give me a sec. Here are the questions you're answering. What are the strengths? What are the concerns? What are the implications to your practice? And what more do you need to know? There we go. Ah, the lull before the storm. I'll be giving you some indications of time along the line. You can do with them what you will, what you'd like. So you're at about the 15-minute mark. I'm not saying you should move, but you could move. So you have about 10 minutes. If you haven't moved but were thinking about it, now would be the time. Okay, we're going to wind up this conversation. I have one more task for you before you leave. You may have noticed me surreptitiously coming around and dropping green dots on your table. Everybody has the right to three green dots. Please don't cheat. So, you have three green dots, and here's your task. Your task is to spend the next 5 to 10 minutes, and if you don't have enough dots, come to me and I will give you more. But, like I say, there's no dot inflation here. You have, if you go to each of the five pieces and show your support by putting dots. So basically what that means is, if you think that an idea is something that you believe would be valuable and beneficial and you'd want to participate in that, or you think it's a good way to go, then put a dot. If you think that this the only idea, put all your dots up there. If that's what you want to do, but then you won't have any more dots. I would suggest at a certain point that you read the ideas that you haven't necessarily heard before you distribute your dots. Everybody okay? Everybody good? That's your 10-minute task. If you have a desire to participate further, there are also sign-up sheets on the tables that you can leave your name and contact information, and as there's further engagement, you will be contacted.